session number 27730, reel 13.
Mr. Bob Lund, reel 13. Now, you were talking about when you reached the front line.
Yes. The tank said, well, if you go round that corner, you run into Germans. And I didn't believe them. So I drove round the corner for about half a mile, and there was another tank. But it was a different type of tank to what our tanks that were just left. And on the end of his gun was one of the famous 88, JU-88 tank guns. And it was a German tank looking at me. I'd never been into reverse gear as quick as that in my life. Into gear, and I reversed all the way back. I don't know how I did it. I still don't know how I did it. And Sam said, good God, he said, they were German tanks. I said, well, so we came up, turned round, came alongside this tank we'd been talking to, and said, you've got some 88s in front of you about half a mile. They said, yes, we thought they might be there. Thanks very much. You've done us a world of good work. We know where they are. We can now shut them. So they, we cleared off back to the last junction we came to, looked at the sign, which was pointing down where we'd come from, and then we turned the sign round and went to the right, in case there was anybody else that was behind us. Anyway, we followed the sign from there, and we came to a large wood, and there was one of our squaddies in the middle of the road with a rifle. And he said, hello, where you two been to? He said, they've been looking for you. He said, you best get in there and report in. So we came in just as the Sergeant Major was coming down. And he said, ah, Driver Lund, where you been to? Driver Smith, where you been to? I said, you'll never know. I said, we've been run over a mine, been dive bombed, we've been up the front, we've been with General Oryx and his men, we've been up the line meeting the Germans with their tanks. Now we've decided to come home. And if you want proof of that mine, it's in the back of the lorry. And there was all this tire and tube, all in little bits. He said, good God, he said, you best get up to the orderly room, because they're just sending out telegrams posting you as missing. And went up to the orderly room, and Ken Clarkson was there. And he said, good God, where you sprung from? And we told him what had happened. Some officers came out, my officer Marriage came out. He said, we were just about to put you, telegram your mother that you're lost in the lines, posted as missing. I said, well, I've told the Sergeant Major and I've told the Mayor, and there's all the rubber that we've had from our tyres. This is it. So we said, well, go and get your lorry tidied up. We've got a big convoy going out in the morning. I said, oh, where are we going to now? He said, well, what's happened is that they've come across a concentration camp. And I expect your sergeant to tell you the rest, which he did do, which was we were going down into, I'm sure we went down into Dresden. And we picked up nurses and civilians, and it was Sunday morning, and we had a convoy of, there was no argument, they just loaded them on to our wagons, and we had two DRs led this column all the way along these German lanes, and well, you didn't have to look for it, you could smell it. It was a place called San Bostel. I can't tell you the number of it. It was called San Bostel. It was the first one that we ever came to, and the reason why we came to it was that our tanks were firing across this particular section of the front line, and some people from the British soldiers were in there, been captured and been put in this camp, and the shells were then dropping very close to the camp. And one of the soldiers happened to slip away and got back to our front line to find the tanks, our tanks all lined up, firing away merrily, until he told them what had happened. They didn't know that San Bostel existed. They didn't know there was a concentration camp there. They knew there was a prisoner of war cage somewhere further up in front of them, but they didn't know exactly where.
So what happened when you got there?
So I was Cook's wagon, fortunately. My wagon was being used as the Cook's wagon.
So carrying the cook and the equipment?
Carrying all the cook and all the equipment. We used to have long burners, petrol burners, and that used to keep all the Dixies hot. And we were parked up opposite the camp gates, and the lorries were unloaded of all these civilians and various food that had to be carried in. And then we started getting the food ready for the soldiers, our soldiers, and several of my pals came back and said, "Good God, you want to come and have a look at this lot?" I said, "I don't want to, I can smell it." They said, "There's dead bodies everywhere. And they've been burning them, putting them in the pits and burning them." And that was our first concentration camp that the British Army came across.
And you didn't go and look at it?
Yes, I did. Curiosity killed the cat, didn't it? It nearly killed me. It was terrible, terrible. Well, then General Horrocks came up with another general called General Adair. And the funny thing about it was that General Adair died 3 years ago, and he lived at Stratford-on-Avon, just down the road. Well, I'd gone and seen him if I'd known. But anyway, General Horrocks didn't know that there was this camp there. He knew that Belsen was not very far further up. And the next thing we had to do, we took all these civilians back to their various places, got rid of them, came back to our camp, washed our wagons out, then we took all our equipment, and we went further afield. We did the same thing. We went up to Belsen. We got loaded up with stores and food and whatever, one or two nurses from the various towns, and they were taken up to Belsen. Well, Belsen, you could smell about 4 miles or 4 or 5 miles away. You didn't have to know where you were going. You could smell it. and Belsen was a huge camp, probably three or four times larger than Sandbottom. And there was people coming out of the camp that had been prisoners, and they were going into the fields and picking swedes and things and eating them raw, or with their poorly stomachs and what have you, it was killing them. And the soldiers just couldn't keep them from walking out of the camp. A, they didn't want to touch them in case they were infected. And they hadn't been given any instructions. Anyway, they cleaned the place up. The Germans had to come in and clean the place up. And it was a terrible, terrible, terrible.
Did it affect you what you saw at Sandbottom and Belsen?
Yeah, it did. It did very much. It's I still get dreams at night that if I've had a bad night, especially when I've had there's a thunderstorm overhead, the lightning gets me because it's just like a shell going off. And then we went on to, we left Port Belsen and we went up to a place called Bennigsen, which was just outside Hanover. And that's when the happy times were coming.
Had the war ended by then? Or was it ending when you
were... Ending. It was ending. And we were just doing, our soldiers were rounding up the stragglers.
And remember VE Day?
Yes, I remember VE Day, but I was in Germany then. I mean, I wasn't...
But it was the end of the war.
It was the end of the
war,
yeah.
Were there any celebrations amongst the soldiers when the war ended?
Oh, yes, we put on parties and what have you. We were... a lot of us got leave and we went over to various towns where we could get to. We was to go back to Bennigsen. We had a dance band. We got a dance band up. I was on the drums. And it was in they call them cafes. But they used to drink there. And it was like a very large bar. And they used to have good times there, dancing and what have you. And we had quite a lot of schnapps. And
what sort of thing? Were you just playing jazz? Were you all just a dance? Oh,
yeah, just a dance. And
were you any good on the drums?
I'm bad. Came naturally once you started tapping away. I used to use the feathers. I didn't use the sticks, I used the feathers. And Sam, he played the piano, so I mean we were halfway there. Somebody, one of our other fellas played a violin, another one did the mouth organ. So we had quite a good crowd in our lot.
Now how long was it in Germany before you went back to Belgium? Because you were pulled back to Belgium to be...
No. Oh, came back to Aachen to be demobbed. And the...
perhaps the company, it just says company recalled back to Belgium.
Ah, yeah, well, the company was recalled back to Belgium. We came back to Belgium because all the old soldiers and the long service... serving soldiers were going to be drafted into other companies. There were companies that were all the old soldiers were in, which were still had to be operational, but they were going to be the first ones to be demobbed. And the younger ones had to go back to Belgium to pick up their ducks and bring their ducks back to England to be refurbished. And they were going on ship, a large ship. They were going out to Japan.
But that wasn't you.
No.
You were long service.
I was long service.
So who were you sent to join?
I went to the 714 General Transport RASC.
And where were they based?
And they had 5-ton diesel potens. I've still got one of my worksheets.
And what were they like, the potens?
They were very, very good, except the diesel was dirty. The diesel was dirty, and it was, it used to get into the jets, and the wagons was always breaking down, but we knew where to go to get it going again, because it was the jets that was dirty. And it was dirty diesel. And dirty diesel stayed with diesel wagons till the 70s, 60s and 70s. And then it became clean diesel. I use diesel, and it's city diesel, clean diesel.
What duties were you on? You were based in Germany, were you?
Yes, we were. We were at Hanover. We were working Hanover to Hamelin. And I expect you know what the story of Hamelin with the rats. But they were big rats when we went in, and we were doing deliveries of food and moving stuff around for the German, really for the British, I can't think of their name. Anyway, it was to do with sorting out the Germans and getting them on the road to recovery. And we were going Hamelin to Hanover, Hamelin, and also I was stationed in Bad Munda. Quite a nice town.
How did you get on with the Germans?
Well, some were all right. Some were still bitter against us because we did a lot of bombing.
How did they show it?
Well, they showed by letting your tyres down. Or trying to steal things from you.
And how did you feel about them?
Well, it's been a war and a big lay when I got home.
But I mean, how did you feel about the Germans?
Some were all right, and some were just plain horrible.
So you didn't have any particular opinion. It depended on how they behaved to you.
It's how they behaved to me. We were the conquerors, and I didn't feel as. And I felt that if they were a Hitlerite, somebody there came along and said, well, I was, I'm in the Hitler Youth. You say, oh, go and get lost.
Now, what about the black market? Were you aware of that?
Oh, yeah. The black market was there. It was there right under your nose.
Did you get involved at all, or were you, or not?
I did get involved just once or twice. There was a, when we were at Hanover, used to say to the, the officers and the sergeants and all the men used to say, well, you go round these farms and what have you. What have they got round these farms? I said, well, you give me some of your chocolate and I'll bring you a bottle of schnapps.
So that's not too serious.
Did you see my hair go gold then? Anyway, they... got to the cooks and I said, how much chocolate have you got? So he said, I've got a can full here. The fellas don't like it. I said, well, how much can you let me have? So he said, well, what are you going to give me? I said, I'll give you some snaps. You like schnapps, it's like whiskey. So they said, well, if I give you a bar of chocolate, you'll get me a bottle of schnapps. I said, yeah. He said, well, if I gave you a can of chocolate, how much will you give me? I said, six bottles. He said, well, make it seven and you can have it. I said, all right, fair enough. So I took the chocolate, went on my merry way, went to a sugar beet factory. And I said, if I give you some chocolate, would you give me some sugar? Well, they couldn't get chocolate. This was our hold. Couldn't get chocolate. So we give them some chocolate. I hope you're not going to pinch me over all this story.
You're all right. Hang on.
And they gave me sugar. So I then went to a person that I knew in Bennigsen. And I said, I've got some sugar here. They said, oh yes. And they spoke perfect English. They said, how much sugar you got? I said, well, how much do you want? They said, what do you want? I said, I want some schnapps. So they said, well, come down to our kitchen. We'll show you some bottles. That bottle there is known to us as a carboy. I said, yeah, well, that's known to us as a carboy. Carboy. She said, we can give you a carboy schnapps for three bars of chocolate. Fair enough. So I thought that was a very good deal I'd done, because I was selling a bottle or a bar of chocolate and I've just sold them three bars for a carboy. Anyway, I took the carboy. I said, you've got any bottles that I can empty this carboy into and then you can give you the carboy back? So they said, well, can you get some more chocolate? I said, yeah, I can get some more chocolate. So they said, oh, well, we've got a deal then. I said, I don't want no rubbish on this schnapps, you know. I don't want none of it that's hasn't stood long enough. No, it's pure schnapps. And that was the one that we dealt in.
Another sort of less pleasant was you had to move displaced people. Tell me about that, because that sounds pretty awful.
We still in Hanover, and we were with the 714 then. So we were in 714, and he said, we got to go to a town and pick up some displaced persons that had come into a camp and they're overcrowded. There would be a large convoy, and it was a large convoy of displaced persons. And they were in a terrible state, awful state. Most of them had just come out of the concentration camps. And we took them to up the not motorway. Anyway, we'll call it a motorway. To Berlin. Or it was the road to Berlin. And we go into a place called Mandyburg. And we came up to a place called Wunstorf. Met the Russians there, and they wanted to go round everything. They wanted to look in our toolboxes and what they fancied they'd steal. If you'd got anything on your body that was they thought should be on theirs, they'd take it. And you couldn't do anything because they were ready to shoot you and look at you. Anyway, we were told about this and we hid all our stuff. And got into Mandyburg, and there was I think, I'm not sure, but I think there was 400 lorries on that trip. One huge convoy. And we dumped all these people into this camp. And they were going to be sorted out from this camp.
Did they object to being handed over to the Soviets?
They didn't know they were being handed over. When we'd come through one stop, we then came back into our own sector. And when we got to Mandyburg, it was still in our sector. We unloaded them at Mandyburg, and we got ready to come back the next night. We washed all our wagons out because they smelt. They just smelt. They smelled horrible. And
what state were they in, the people? I mean, can you describe it? Or?
Yes, they were ragged and torn. Some had managed to get decent coats and things, but half of them were long-haired, draggled like tramps. Dirty tramps.
And did you feel sorry for them, or were they, you know?
Yeah, we felt sorry for them because they've been left in such a terrible state. And we took them into this large camp at Mandyburg, and they were going to be sorted out, cleaned up, and sent back to their own countries. Well, then next morning, our sergeants came round and said, "Sorry, fellas, you've got to reload. We've been informed that the Russians have taken over Mandyburg. And now you've got to go back to Wonstov, be inspected again, and you've got to take all these displaced people back to Hanover and wherever you got them from." And that's what we did. But it was a nightmare. And they... it was a shame, really, that we went all that way up there and all that way back. We hadn't done anything about it. We,
you just moved them back?
We just moved them back to where we picked them up. They went back to, half the convoy went to Hanover. I was on the Hanover run. And then we had to take some food up again to Berlin. And then we went into Berlin, and that was quite interesting, because we had to come to Wunstorf and be inspected by the Russians. We were taking food and stuff up to the Germans in Germany, in Berlin, and half the darn stuff was being half-itched by the Russians. But we had another trip that was... We spent the night in Berlin in our lorries.
What did you think of the state of Berlin after the bombing?
Terrible. I knew that London had been bombed. I knew London what it looked like when it had been bombed. But Berlin was worse. It was, terrible. The only strange thing about it, I went up and had a look at the statue of Brandenburg Gate. And except for a few chips and what have you, the actual monument, I can't remember what it was, but the monument on top of Brandenburg Gate was intact. And it was amazing that for all the bombing the Americans gave and we gave to Berlin, that it was so badly smashed, and yet that monument was still standing.
Anything else happened before you were demobbed? You were demobbed in March 46, so it's quite a while. Any other things?
We did a lot of... We came down to Aachen, and...
Were you based there then?
We were based there in a camp.
That's in Holland?
Yeah, Belgium. That was in Belgium.
Belgium, of course, sorry.
It's on the borders, isn't it? On the borders of both.